If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim. Din al-Islam, dini, wal-azam ghayru dini, Muhammad illi hadini.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God. Welcome to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. We are going to talk about the rules related to prayer according to Ayatollah Khamenei. But before that, let's take a listen to a short biography.
A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtaza Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up till 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
SubhanAllah.
Sheikh Javed, we are talking about the rules of prayer according to Ayatollah Khamenei, and I'll ask you this question, that if a person washes an impure clothes, okay?
Yeah.
And now the clothes becomes, or the dress becomes pure, and he makes certain of it. So the said person offers the prayers with that clothes.
Yeah.
And later he learns that the dress was not made pure.
Yeah,
by washing. Yeah. All right? Is the prayer he offered in that dress is valid? What about the following prayers? Can he still continue praying with the same dress?
Yeah. According to ruling 63 of the Farsi Risala, or the Farsi Manual of Islamic Laws, authored by His Eminence Grand Ayatollah Khamenei, the prayer in that case is valid, and it's not necessary for that individual to repeat the prayer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, is there any situation or case, Sheikh Javed, that, let's say, in which one may be allowed to offer his prayers with impure clothes?
Well, there are at least four situations in which a person can offer his prayers, even if his clothes are impure.
Uh-huh.
One is the wound or sore. Okay, if a person is wounded and the wound is bleeding, or for example, a sore on any part of his body, and it is discharging blood.
Mm-hmm.
So that blood, as long as it spreads around it, the area, it does not affect the prayer, and it's a person can still offer his prayer even though the wound is, you know, so the blood is oozing.
Mm-hmm.
And it is spreading to other parts. But as long as, you know, it's the blood of wound, it is exempted. A person can still continue praying. And in the blood of a wound is actually an exception.
Mm-hmm.
Provided that it does not spread to other parts, you know. For example, if your hand is wounded, the blood which is around the wound is exempted. You know, you can pray with it. But if that wound goes, it spreads to the other hand, or to your legs, or to other parts of your body, or to your clothes, you must wash those parts.
Mm-hmm.
And you cannot pray with that blood, thinking that, okay, this is the blood of the wound, so I can still offer prayers with it. That's not the case. You have to wash off the blood, the part of your body which is, mm-hmm, stained with blood.
Yes.
But it's not the, you know, the blood has come from the wound, but it's not very much adjacent to the wound. So it must be washed and made pure.
Mm-hmm, I see. But, you know, in
and
one
then
of...
There are okay. other cases as
All
well,
right.
you know. The other cases of the wound or the najasa, in which is exempted and which can still be, you know, can be neglected, is the blood which is smaller in size,
mm-hmm,
smaller than the size of a dirham, or mm-hmm, the size of a thumb.
Yes, that's the question I wanted to ask you about.
Yeah.
You know. All right.
If there is blood on your clothes or on your body, and it's you know, it covers a space smaller than the size of a thumb.
Yeah.
Or a dirham, because the dirham, you know, it was a kind of small coin
yes,
that used to be used in the early period of Islam, but nowadays we have different coins and we cannot
exactly
use, you see.
So they come in different sizes.
Yeah. So that's why the religious authorities have said that if it is lesser than the size of a thumb, of the individual's
yes,
thumb, okay, and it should be a normal thumb, you know, of course, so one can still pray with that blood, provided that it's not the blood of, let's say, a pig, or the blood of a dog, or the blood of menses. It should be an ordinary blood. For example, if your nose is bleeding,
uh-huh,
and the blood is a drop of the blood falls down on your clothes or on your body, and if that
yes,
it's the size of the blood, or the space which the blood covers is lesser than the size of a dirham,
mm-hmm,
then you can still continue praying with it.
Yes. And then, by the thumb, you mean just the tip of the thumb, right?
Yeah, the tip of the thumb.
Not the whole thumb.
Yeah, of course.
Obviously.
Yeah, the joint, the first joint, you know, the tip of the thumb.
Yes, it's a little bit like about the size of the thumbnail.
Yeah, you're
right.
You're right.
All right.
Then we have also smaller things. Smaller things, for example, if you have gloves, if you have socks, if you have a small handkerchief with you, and these are small things which usually do not cover the private parts,
yes.
As long as they are small, okay, you can keep them with you, and the najasa of those things will not affect your prayer. You can still wear, you can put them in your pocket, or you can wear them, and those things will not make your prayer white. And then we have the last thing, you know, the last thing, and that is in the case of emergency or in the case of necessity. If you are supposed to, for example, if because of severe cold weather, you do not have a cloth, or you cannot change your cloth, and you are helpless in that situation, you cannot actually, you know, take off your clothes. If you take it off, or maybe if you don't have any other cloth, you are wearing the cloth to protect yourself. And in the case of helplessness, Grand Ayatollah Khamenei has said that it is still permissible for you to offer your prayer with a najis body, with an impure body, or with a najis dress, and in that case, your prayer is valid. Because you, for example, cannot wash yourself in the extreme cold weather, or you do not have any other clothes. No matter what you do, you cannot change it. There's no other dress. And the only dress you have is an impure one. So in the case of helplessness, you can still offer your prayers with the najis cloth, and your prayer will be valid.
Okay, thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. Let's take a short break and we'll be back. Stay with us. La ilaha illallah,
Allahu Akbar. The followers of Ayatollah Khamenei can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Back to the program Islamic Law on IRIB English Radio. We are still talking about the rules about prayers according to Ayatollah Khamenei with Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker here at the studio. You were talking about the scenarios where one may be able to offer the prayers, although, for example, there is a blood stain on their, for example, their clothes. But couple of detailed questions may arise here, Sheikh Javid. For example, when you say that if the blood spreads like over a space lesser than a dirham, a thumbnail probably about the size, right? So the individual offering the prayer may be exempted from, in fact, washing it first and then offer the prayer, right? So, but what about a situation where this blood comes from impure animals, such as dogs or pigs?
So
what about these scenarios? Again, the same rule applies?
Well, no, the dog is an essentially impure animal. And a pig is also an essentially impure animal.
Yes.
The blood of menses, the blood of the blood of postnatal bleeding. These are the filthiest, you know, types of blood.
Yes.
You know, and you cannot pray with these types of blood.
Yes.
No matter how much the quantity of the blood of menses, or the blood of pork, or the blood of a dog. So even if it is smaller than the size of a thumb, It is, you cannot
it's pray an invalidator with, yeah,
it,
of the
it,
prayer.
It is one of the invalidating agents, mm-hmm. and you cannot pray with it.
What about menstrual blood? Does that...
Yeah, it's also impure, it's also filthy, and you cannot pray with it, even if it's smaller than the size of
a dirham.
A dirham, yes.
I see. Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. That was the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. Thank you very much for listening to us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Rahmanun Rahimun Mannanun Kareemun Salamun Aleemun La ilaha illa hum Ghaffarun Jameelun Wahhabun Latifun Tawwabun Sami'un Basir Mahin.